good singing. I don't care where you're from. In fact, it's great singing. That's just great singing all the way around. We're glad you're here. We appreciate those of you that are visiting with us. And so we want to thank God for his goodness and mercy and the grace of God. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking in the book of Malachi in chapter number 3. In the book of Malachi in chapter 3, you'll find the place you're able to stand. We'll look there in verse number 6, if it is. In verse number 6, Malachi chapter number 3. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We ask your blessings upon this congregation and service gathered here. We pray that now that you'd be with the Cox family. And Lord, as we go there this afternoon, I pray that, Lord, that you speak to hearts. May there's somebody that maybe needs the Lord that'll get saved during the tragedy of all of this. And yet we want to say thank you in her behalf, that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Now bless, I pray, the reading of the word to every heart that's here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a few moments, if I might, this morning on the unchangeable God. You know, we live in a world that's changing, I'm talking about, just repeatedly and fast as it possibly can. And let me tell you, some of the changes are not for the better, they're for the worse. I would spend the last dime I could muster up and get if I could go buy a brand spanking new 57 Chevrolet two-door hardtop with a 327 or a 350 motor in it. But you can't get one new like that. You can get a bunch of pieces of junk, you know, that are overpriced and stuff like that. Got 40 pounds of Bondo on one fender and 25 pounds of lead sewn in a door on another. Now, I'm not knocking all of that, and if some of you sell in a car, I don't mean that toward you. I just said all that to be able to say this. Now, you can buy a vehicle that used to cost you around $30,000, and you'll spend a whole bunch more than that, and you'll be wiping your head thinking, "Oh, man, I didn't want to buy your house, too. I just wanted to buy a vehicle." I said all that to say this. Times are changing. Things are changing. I'm glad to serve a God who changes not. "I am the Lord," he said, "and I change." You know, God feels the same way today about the same thing that he did way back yonder when everything began. God hadn't changed his mind. Listen, there's only one way to be able to miss hell and make heaven. It's in a person, and his name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody said one time, "Can your church guarantee me to go to heaven?" No, but I'll tell you what it will do. It guarantee you we'll preach the word of the Lord to you. And if God don't save you, you're not going to be able to miss hell and make heaven. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that folks, somehow or another, they want to feel like that God has changed their way of thinking. God's not going to change to our way of thinking. In this Bible lesson, do you realize and know that he says more than one time is that when Jesus over there said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." I'll tell you, if you've been planted into the family of God and you're bearing fruit for the cause of Christ, it's because that God snatched you as a brand from the burning and saved you and put you in the church of the living God. Now, I said all that to be able to say this because you seem like a pretty even, easygoing crowd. I've seen some people that were really hostile. You ever had anybody while you were trying to make a speech or be able to preach a sermon stick their tongue out at you? Hey, I've seen some things in church it wouldn't do to put on an overpass. I got to tell you something is that you'll find out that God planted us in the house of God. When you got saved, God plants you into the house. The Bible said in the Lord, as a result of that, that the Lord planted in the church daily such as should be saved. If you're a child of God, you're in the house of God. We're glad you're here this morning, so forth and on. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that Jesus Christ is the true vine. Now, there's a lot of false vines out there. A lot of them get you all tangled up and so forth and on. But let me tell you, there's not but one true vine. His name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's not two ways to be able to go to heaven. There's not but one way. There never has been but one way. It's one way right now. It'll be one way tomorrow. It'll be one way whenever he comes again. There's not another name under heaven given among men, the Bible said, whereby we must be saved, than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that there's every Bible version that's out there that's on the market. Some of it's easy reading. Like one old boy was standing there at a bookstore and he was looking at all the Bibles. And he said, have you got a Bible in here that ain't so hard to live by? That's where we're at in the day we live in. We're looking for something a little easier if we possibly can. I got to tell you right now, you're going to find out is that whenever you came to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, I'll tell you what all versions of the Bible have all in common. They all of them hate the old King James Bible. And somebody said, well, you know, that's so hard for me to understand. Why, are you stupid or what? It's written in third grade English. How in the name of God could that be too hard for you? Maybe it's too simplified. I got to tell you, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Now, you know, whenever you come to know Christ and he plants you in the house of God, you'll be producing fruit for in his behalf because of what he's doing in your life. And I got to tell you something. You'll find that over there in the book of Isaiah in about chapter number 5, you don't even got to turn there. You can read about it sometime, but it talks about God planting his vineyard. And he said he took a choice vine and he put it in there. And he said he went and wanted it to bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. It was fruitful, but not like he intended. And as a result of that, he said, what more could I have done for my vineyard? What could I have done more for it? In other words, I looked at it, I cleaned it up, cleaned it out, built a fence around about it. I wanted to protect it from the outside world and protect that which was on the inside. And he said, what more could I have done? Took all the stones out so people wouldn't stumble over it. I got to tell you something, is that Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling to a lost world, and he is a rock of offense. They don't want him telling them what they must do in order to be saved. I want to say that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find that God obviously was not happy with the vineyard and all of the stumbling stones that came about and that had been placed there, been kicked around there since the day that he had planted it. Let me say to you that, if you will, this is an element in this lesson here of the ownership, is that whenever he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Listen, if you're saved this morning, I can promise you right now is that God's got you planted in his vineyard. And while God's got you planted in there, every now and again he prunes a little something off of you. Every now and again he picks up and throws out some stones so that you'll not stumble over it. As a result of that, you're going to find out there's a lot of objects of stumbling that are out there in the world that we live in. I begin to think about, you know, that if you won't have real victory, you're going to have real victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And you're going to have it through and plus nothing or minus nothing through a person. His name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over there in the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, he says, as a result of that, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you believe what God said this morning? I can tell you right now is that I appreciate everything the Lord is saying and has said. Did you know that the Bible said that nothing, those that are saved by the grace of God, is that if you're in the house of God, that nothing's going to offend you? Yes. Nothing in the word of the Lord will offend a Christian. Right. Now, it may get you under conviction. It may do like he's done me many times, dust your britches and knock you down on your face somewhere, crying out for forgiveness and repentance. But make no mistake about it, you're going to find great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. And that is nothing from the word of the Lord. I was thinking about in this lesson that you're looking at is that if we just walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling that he's given us. I was glad that one day that he came knocking on my heart's door. Remember when he done that for you? And you knew it wasn't anybody else on the row, it was you that needed and stood in the need of prayer. I can tell you right now, when God saved my soul, it made me want to be able to serve him and to live for him. It made me want to be able to see and to know that my wife, and of course, when she got saved, what a great thing. When our children were born, we have prayed for each one of them. God, save them and snatch them as a brand for the burning. Don't let them sell out to the world, the flesh, and to the devil. You know, in the day we live in, there's a lot of people that are out there up and down the road of life. And they're doing what they can to pull at you. They want to rob your heart. They want to steal your brains, your mind. Some of these fine-looking young men in these suits that we looked at this morning here. you got to be real careful. Just because she walks up and she's got maybe one gold tooth and all of that and got it glittering and this and that, and she just makes you want to howl like a wolf when you see her, she's so pretty. Some of these men, they can remember when that was like that with them. And all of that rhythm right there. You remember, it just made you, some of you fellas remember whenever you were so sophisticated and this and that, and the day you saw her, then you went to acting like you didn't have a brain in your head, and you Lord, she's purdy. Well, it ought to do something for you. See? It ought to do something for you. But I want to tell you something, is that you'll find that there's not a greater friend that you'll ever have than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I want to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, we ought to walk worthy with Him in fellowship and let Him lead us and guide us and direct us in all the things and all the word of the Lord. Now, the Bible says, I'm the Lord and I change not. We're talking about the unchangeable God. You know, if you get saved, you'll have to get saved the same way that that Adam and Eve got saved. You know how they got saved? Grace of God. In the cool of the day in the garden, after they had sinned against the Lord, God came and said, Adam, where art thou? God knew exactly where Adam was, but God wanted Adam to know where he was. I want to ask you this morning here, all you boys and girls, where art thou? All you young men, young ladies, where art thou this morning? God knows exactly where you're at. He just wants you to look at it and see that there's only one way to miss out and make heaven. It's in a person. His name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was thinking about, you know, whenever God speaks to us, He speaks through His Word.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you'll find the time would come they'll not endure sound doctrine. And the time is that way right now. Listen, we're living in a world, they're not going to hear that preaching. Oh, there's a few that will. There's a remnant according to the election of grace that will hear it. But you're going to find for the most part, no, they're not. They come to the house of God, they're going to tune out preaching. They like singing. I can't tell you how many people have walked by and shook my hands in days gone by and said, man, I enjoyed them people singing. Well, that's a lot nicer than saying, oh, I didn't like you at all. See what I'm talking about? In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that when God and the voice of God became real to your heart, real to your life, and you knew exactly who He was talking to, He's talking to your heart and your soul in need of redemption. I want to say to you that if you will, when God speaks, He speaks through His Word. Did you know that the Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? You'd think that every church in this country would be packed every Sunday. But they're not. Why? They're not interested in what God said. They don't mind programs. They don't mind plays. They don't mind parties and things of that nature. But the one thing that will reach down and snatch their soul from hell is the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't want that. I want to say to you that, if you will, the Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is not going to pass away. I'll tell you one thing. You know where the word of the Lord is this morning? I can tell you exactly where it's at. It's in my heart. He put it there the day that He saved my soul. And make no mistake about it, if you're a child of God, you know that the word of the Lord is on the inside of you. I wonder this morning, as we sit here and as we think about all that's changing up and down the road of life, do you know Him in the free pardon of sin? Have you ever come to the place to realize that, oh, hey, preacher, it's me that stands in need of prayer. It's me that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. It's me that He's reaching down for. I hope that be your case, and I hope you'll surrender your heart and life unto Him and receive Him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank You for loving us even while we've been unlovable. There may be somebody here this morning say, preacher, it's me that God's been tugging at my heart's door. That's a good thing, Lord. That is a good thing. May, Lord, they surrender their heart unto Thee and trust Thee as Lord and Savior. And then may they make it known to us, and we'll rejoice and be glad with them. We praise You and we thank You, Thou art God. Beside Thee there's none else. Now, Bless, I pray, the remainder of the services today. Be with those that will show up for Miss Betty's funeral. And we'll thank you in advance for all of that. In Jesus' name. All right, shake hands with somebody on your